It's great this morning for us to have our Faith Promise speaker this morning. Her name is Kelly Love. She is the missions president on the Kansas District. Her and her husband live near Hutchinson. Well, I know you go to Hutchinson First Church, live near there. And she's been a part of that church since 2001. While she's been at Hutch First, she served in everything from teen Bible quizzing to she's done tech in the booth. And today, if we have a weakness, she's going to run back there and preach from the booth and help us out, because we need that sometimes. But she's a very engaged and involved, her and her husband, Dale. And they live on a working farm, and they have three married children. And one of the best things in the world, they have four grandchildren. So we are very happy to have her today. And she's going to come and speak to us and share with us about what God's word says about really reaching out into our world and being a mission-minded church. Before she does, watch this video this morning.
Everywhere we look in Nazarene Missions, we are seeing a movement of the Holy Spirit to bring salvation and restoration through the people of God. We believe that through faith, God will continue to do amazing things. See, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith is a choice, and His promise is clear. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So how do we step out in faith? How do we connect with God's promise? How do we join His movement? Every Church of the Nazarene is encouraged to share a percentage of their income to Nazarene missions. These funds are essential to spread the gospel and to support our missionaries. Many churches step out in faith beyond this encouraged percentage through Faith Promise. This one weekend each year emphasizes the missional work of the local congregation and the global church. They are challenged to give generously to share Christ's transformational love with the world. But this isn't a calculated pledge. It's a promise made by faith that God will provide. A promise that He will do immeasurably more than we could ever imagine. Faith Promise is about stepping out in faith. It's about the giving of our resources so that the good news can be shared. God will answer our prayers of hope and fulfill His promise. God is moving through His people around the world and through Faith Promise. Nazarene Missions invites you to join the movement.
Well, good morning. My husband and I do live on a farm. We raise crops, and I'm not going back to the media booth. I'm just telling you. They can figure it out. We raise crops and hogs and cattle, and so that has been my married life. We've been married for 35 years and are truly enjoying being grandparents. It's a lot of fun. I'm going to introduce you to the first slide, and this is Phineas Brazee. Back in 1895, he was a pastor with a different denomination than ours, and he was assigned to go to LA, California to preach. And he saw the need of the homeless and the poverty-stricken and those who were drinking all night and couldn't see, and thought they needed Christ just as much as we do in those of us who are not in those situations. And so he would go out onto the street corners and he would preach. And people would start coming around on Sunday and they'd listen to him. And then he'd march them down to the church and they would have church together down there too. Well, that denomination didn't like that, because church was only for those who were dressed up and had their act together. And they put a stop to it. And he felt so convicted by preaching to the poor and to the lost that he stepped away from that denomination. And then a short time later, him and those who believed in what he was doing stepped away as well. And they started a new denomination called the Church of the Nazarene, after the humble Nazarene who also went out into the streets and preached to the poor and to the lost and told them about God and how they needed God in their lives. So that is where the Church of the Nazarene name came from, in case you didn't know. And in 1908, after several different holiness denominations agreeing with what the Church of the Nazarene believed in and preached, they then joined. And so Phineas Brzee believed that in 1908 was the true official beginning of the Church of the Nazarene. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it says, Go back one, please. So Phineas had said that the Church of the Nazarene is no longer a mission, but it's a church with a mission, as he had started a mission house called Peniel Mission, Peniel being the house of God. So in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then also Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Which is all good and fine, but what does that mean to us today? So I look at it this way, that Jerusalem is your church. You're taking care of your church with Sunday school and the pastor on Sunday morning and the teaching you receive throughout the week, and you encourage each other in that way. Judea is like your community when you outreach. And you are doing that when you pack lunches on Friday for the kids that go home, when you help packing for the county with the harvesters, that is your Judea as well. And then even the doorstep that you're getting ready to plunge into with providing Christmas gifts so families in need can come in and do some shopping at a reduced cost. That is your Judea, and you are doing that. Your Samaria, I like to think of it as anything outside of our Judea, but inside the United States border. And to the ends of the earth would be anything outside of the United States border. Since the founding of our church in 1908, the Church of the Nazarene has grown, serving the Lord from serving in the United States to 162 world areas. We partner with Global Nazarene Ministries by praying and going to those world areas on mission trips and help in whatever capacity we need or they is needed. Another way is to help financially through our World Evangelism Fund. The World Evangelism Fund provides a strategic foundation and base for the work of our missionaries around the world. This funding allows our missionaries to expand their ministry by building on your support. So when we do our part to the ends of the earth, then they can do their part in their Jerusalem and in their Judea and then even in their Samaria and in the area that they are, finding a need and meeting that need. Just like you at Fairlawn, you have found a need to help those children go home with some food on Fridays. The same missionaries are doing the same thing in their area. They find that need, and then they meet it. So in Acts 1:8, it clearly just doesn't say that you're just supposed to take care of your church. It clearly says that you are supposed to do all of those things. There has to be a balance. So it's not just here at home, not just take care of yourself, not just take care of your community, but also globally. And though we may not all be called to go and be global missionaries, we can help support those who have been called, and that is through our finances and through World Evangelism Fund, in which the Church of the Nazarene uses to help support everything from the Global Ministry Center in Lenexa, Kansas, to missionaries all across the world. Next slide, please. On the far left, you'll see a picture of feet, and I call these beautiful feet. I got to go to the Dominican Republic with Jesus Film Harvest Partners one time. We delivered equipment, and then we went and worked with Genesis missionaries. Now, Genesis missionaries are young people who feel called to preach or to be a missionary, and they do them some very strategic training with them, and then they go and work with local pastors. Well, this group that I work with, the gal in the blue shirt, her name is Suze, And I was assigned to her. I speak zero Spanish. Well, wait, I can count to 10. That's all I can do. Although I've learned gracias and no, that's the same in English too. That was easy. So what we did is I basically just followed them around, and they went into this very, very impoverished community and just walked the streets, and kids were out and about. It was summertime, and they would go and ask the parents if the parents would allow the kids to come to the church and receive some free clothing. So I'm not sure how they did it, but they bought secondhand clothing in big bundles, and then they would separate it into girls and boys and sizes, and then they would go out into the community and ask, can we go back one slide, please, and ask the parents, would you allow the kids to come and receive some free clothing? And so they didn't do it unless the parents said yes. You'll notice there are plenty of children around, but the woman carrying the baby, Suse didn't even really get to talk to her about the clothing until after they prayed, because when Suse was talking to her, she shared the plan of salvation with her, and that young woman with that baby in her arms accepted Christ right then and there. It was an incredible experience to watch. And then we continued and went throughout the neighborhood. So there were three different Genesis missionaries, and there were only 7 of us on the mission trip. And we just all separated and went with them. Okay, now the next slide. So then the missionaries would go back and they would sort that clothing. And they had the names of the kids and kind of what size they thought they could wear. And they would put them into bags. So each child got about 2 or 3 outfits. It just depended on how much clothing that they had. Then later that night or that afternoon, they would come back to the church. And we'll go to the next slide. And they would do a puppet show, and they would sing songs, and they would give the gospel message and share tools from Jesus Film Harvest Partners. And then later that night, they invited them back to watch the film for children. The picture on the left is the church. And you'll notice that the picture on the right is the inside of the church, and you can see daylight through those walls. But this was a great thing for them, that they had a building that they could go and worship in. This was an incredible experience in seeing how they do it in other parts of the world. And then yet, the Lord revealed to me, that's no different than what we do here. We reach out, we find a need, we meet it. But where we stop sometimes is sharing the gospel. And they are very strategic in doing that. Because, you know, sometimes they just can't hear us if they're cold or if their stomach's growling. And so sometimes you have to reach that need by feeding them or clothing them or taking care of them if they're sick. And then they ask, why are you doing this? It's because Jesus tells us to love our neighbor. Well, who's Jesus? Well, let me tell you about him. And then it opens that door so that we can share the gospel and win lost souls for Christ, because that's who we are as the Church of the Nazarene. That is our main goal, is to help increase heaven's population. Next church, or not church, but picture. So Josh and Shannon Herndon are missionaries, and they were assigned to go to Madrid, Spain, specifically though, to reach out to those in the community. Like, a lot of times missionaries will go and they will reach out to others who have come into the community, but theirs was a little different. And so it first started with like a kids club, and there's like just a couple of kids and then a couple of more kids in their house, and parents were allowing this. They were seeing how the Herndons were loving on their children and being kind to them. And so they asked the kids, what would you like for us to do for you? And they're like, teach us American baseball. And so they had a work and witness team that was coming from the States. So they said, we need baseball equipment. So that the United States, I don't know who all did it, but they gathered a bunch of equipment. The team took it, and they did kind of like what we would call a VBS baseball camp. And kids learned how to play baseball. This was an incredible experience. And then the parents, again, were like, why are you doing this? Well, it's because Jesus says to love your neighbor. And who is Jesus? Let me tell you about Jesus. And the church grew, and it grew. Now, the Herndons are no longer in Spain. Right now, I think they are in Romania with different responsibilities, but using sports ministry as part of their outreach to the area and where they are reaching. Next picture, please. So, in Mesoamerica, what speaks to the people there is soccer or football. So the ministry that has been happening for the last 4 or 5 years is pastors see a need to teach young children how to play soccer and teach them about who Jesus is. So Work and Witness teams raise the money for a project, which is about $10,000 to $15,000, and they build a soccer field. Now, it's about the size of like what our full court basketball courts would be. So it's not a big soccer field, but a smaller one. So this is the beginning of it. When teams come in, they break the ground and flatten it out, put up the walls, go to the next picture, and by the time they leave, they have done this. Isn't that incredible? A lot of times Work and Witness trips, you go and you start something and the next team comes in and they keep working until it's completely finished. But this project, they do in 10 days. Ground level till it's done, lights up, and they have a big ceremony and they play a little soccer. But even sometimes before they even get to this point, the neighborhood kids are coming in and they'll sit down and share Jesus with them. So when they do, this is a lot like our Upwards program. Do you have Upwards here, or have you done that before? Are you familiar with it? It's a sports program, and you practice the sport, and then everybody stops, and we do devotions, and we go back and we finish playing. And that's exactly what they do here, not only at the game times, but in their clinics when they have those as well. Next. So this then is several months after that field was done. And here shows you the picture on the left, our kids for instruction and just getting ready. But the picture on the right shows that the gospel's been shared and kids are learning about Jesus, accepting Christ, and lives are being changed all over Mesoamerica because of this incredible ministry. And it's not just for children, but for adults as well. Next. So, this is the Amazon. That's a river, not a road. Well, it's a road, but not like we think of it as. The Amazon state in Brazil has 32,000 villages, with only 12,000 villages having heard the gospel. 20,000 villages have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Relationships are built with village leaders. They take time to establish trust. And then meeting those needs with the villagers of food, construction, medical, dental services, those are the beginning steps of building that trust. Only 20% of roads can be reached, or villages can be reached by roads. So the river is the best form of transportation in the Amazon jungle. Next. This is Manuel Lima. When I met him, he was the missionary for Manaus, Brazil, and that boat had not been finished yet, but it is now finished and completed, and he is now the regional director for Brazil, or South America. I'm not sure how that works. So this was his dream, was to do this so that he had a form of transportation to go up and down that river and meet those villages. There was one story that he told that I just can't seem to forget, that you cannot dock unless you've been invited to come in, either by hand motion or by word. So they drove by this one village for 5 years. Well, drove on the boat for 5 years until finally, one time, they waved them in. And that time just happened to have a boat full of medical doctors. And that's what they had been doing, going up and down the river, was giving medical attention to the villages. So they docked, and they went. One of them went in, Manuel went in, and he just said, do you have any doctors? Because my wife is very, very sick. He goes, we just so happened to have a doctor on board. And they helped her and took care of her. And then the village started bringing out all these other people who were sick. And they were able to minister to them for about 3 days in healing and taking care of their needs. And that's how the gospel gets spread into the village. Because then that leader allows Jesus to come into the village. And then it's okay for everybody else to know about Jesus. And so then they go out into the jungle, and the word spreads village to village that way. And that's how they make it work in the Amazon jungle. So it's not like you can just go over to the next school and see what they need, some socks today or this week. It's a little more intense. So each country has its own culture, and you have to figure that out. And that's what our missionaries do. The next picture shows the boat that has a bunch of children. They have docked at one point, and the man in the red shirt is also another man that I met while I was in Brazil. And he and his wife were drunks, and so bad they didn't even realize that they woke up in the middle of the street in the next morning. And they said, we've got to do something. And Catholicism is huge and very, very strong in Brazil. And so they went to her grandmother, who was very much a strong Catholic, didn't attend, but believed and claimed Catholic was her religion. But she said, you know, you should go to the Nazarene Church. There's a pastor over there who can help you. And they were saved. And they turned their house into a kids' club and started preaching the gospel. And first it was 5 kids, and then it was 20 kids, and then it was 100 kids. And now they help lead this boat ministry up and down the river and sharing the gospel. Next, please. This is one of the pastors that I met while I was there. His name is Pastor Miguel. While we're in his village, he is a missionary, and not a global missionary. He's actually just indigenous, and he will come and get the backpacks from Jesus Film and whatever tools that he needs and put them on his back and walk for days into the jungle, finding other villages who have not ever heard, and then finding those who he has shared Christ with and encouraging them, just as Paul did. But we stood in the church, and there was a rainforest going on for about an hour, and through an interpreter, he shared how important and meaningful it was for us as Americans to come and take our time and our money to see what they're doing, that it meant so much to him. He stood there and cried, and then we all cried with him. It was just a very powerful moment. So work and witness teams, keep going. You are doing more for them, and then they will in turn do the same for you in an emotional and understanding of what it is to continue to follow in Jesus' footsteps, no matter where he calls you. Next. So Santamayo is a pastor turned, well, in his younger years, he was a motocross professional. And through a series of events, he became a pastor and left his church to start a motocross track. And this thing is busy all the time, and even on Sundays. But there is a time where everything is just shut down, and there's church. They don't demand that anybody come to church, but about 90% of the people will stop, put their stuff by their trailers, and they will go and they will hear the gospel. And this happens every week, all the time. Next, please. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the video, isn't it? Go ahead and go back. And then, so World Mission Broadcast is another way that your world evangelism is helping our missionaries share the gospel, and that's through World Mission Broadcast. Used to be through radio and still is, but because of our technology, not just here in the United States, but worldwide, how we are sharing the gospel through our phones. So this is a short video. I want it'll explain it much better than I can.
Is Marcelo Freitas. I am the pastor of the Church of the Nazarene in Latacunga, Ecuador. Since starting the WhatsApp ministry, I found that it is a great tool. It has not only allowed me to disciple many people in my local church and in Ecuador, but the ministry has also reached people in Argentina, the United States, Peru, Venezuela, and Colombia. We are impacting many people in different countries. The WhatsApp ministry has really grown in number, and it has stretched me personally. The way I used to use WhatsApp was by sending messages like, "How are you?" or "God bless you," or "It was great to meet you." Now, it has grown to where I send devotionals once, twice, or three times a week. I also feel very blessed that two of the people in our church, one is in the military and the other is a professor, have been sharing the devotionals with some of their peers. Because of those devotionals, new people have been coming to our church, all because people have been sharing the messages they receive. People are being impacted by the Word of God. In another case, there is a district superintendent in Argentina who has been sharing the devotionals with the pastors on his district. Some of those pastors have sent me messages saying they are grateful to have received the Word. People often think, "I don't know what to write," or "I don't know how to do it." I want to encourage you to use the instrument God has put in your hands and use it to send the message of salvation to those who need it.
So when you do a World Mission Broadcast offering, this is what you're helping to support. Airtime and follow-up materials, holiness programming delivered by radio, television, internet, and now even on the phone. Next, please. The next one. There we go. So the upper left-hand corner is church. Without walls. That's how they do it. And other pictures across from that one is a food distribution. And then the lower picture is water wells. All of these are very needed in the Africa region. Africa is diverse and huge, and there are many needs. But one of the things that we continue to see is the need for clean water. So that women do not, and it's the women's job to go to the river, carry the water, and bring it back for their families to be able to bathe and drink and cook with. And there's a lot of disease because of that, because the water is not clean. Girls tend to not get to go to school because their job is to carry the water as well. So through funding with different projects, Cosmos Mutawa is the current Nazarene Compassionate Ministries Director in Africa, and he has been on our district asking for donations. And so we, as a district, have, put together 4 or 5 water wells across Africa. So the health continues to increase and get better in those villages. Girls and boys both get to go to school now, so education is happening, and that is very important as well. Nazarene Compassionate Ministries partners with local Nazarene congregations around the world to clothe, shelter, feed, heal, educate, and live in solidarity with those who live or who suffer under oppression, injustice, violence, poverty, hunger, and disease. Nazarene Compassionate Ministries exist in and through the Church of the Nazarene to proclaim the gospel to all the people in word and deed. It collaborates with local churches to strategically organize immediate relief and long-time rebuilding. So it's just not going in there and taking care of a problem and going on to the next town. It's staying there and teaching those pastors and educating them and helping them to understand the Word of God better so then they in turn can teach their people. Next picture, please. Globally, we have child development centers in 34 countries. Nazarene Compassionate Ministries' holistic child development model addresses five holistic aspects of a child's life. Physical, to ensure healthy development, children need support such as new supplemental nutrition, hygiene, education, health care, and safe places. Emotional, many children live with the scars of emotional trauma as a result of poverty, war, abuse, or natural disasters. Connections with caring sponsors, counselors, and local church families offer a path toward healing and growth. Relational, learning to work and play with other children, along with discovering wisdom through committed sponsors and local staff volunteers, enables children to build strong, healthy relationships and to love and serve God with others. Intellectual, gaining an education helps children develop their minds and provides opportunities for future employment and well-being that will benefit children throughout their lives. And then one of the most important is spiritual. Local churches seek to help children understand that God loves them, they are valued, and they can experience salvation through a personal relationship with Jesus. Churches walk alongside children, providing support, encouragement, and opportunities to grow and mature into faithful discipleships. So, child development centers are churches that create these centers, and a lot of it has to do with education. Even some of, especially in Dominican Republic that I am most familiar with, teachers, kids go to school for half a day. So there are so many children that you're assigned to this half day. Every day you go in the morning. But these kids over here, you go in the afternoon. So when the kids that are going to school in the afternoon, they have nothing to do in the morning. So they go to these child development centers where teachers from the public school will come in and help them with their studies and teaching them. So it's a really great partnership that they have with them. Jesus Film Harvest Partners is a ministry which partners with other kingdom ministries to make Christ-like disciples in the nations by showing the Jesus film to lost people around the world. They're involved in evangelism, discipleship, church development, leadership training, and pastoral education. So when I went to Brazil, sorry, this is all I know. So, first of all, one of the things that... this is an Evangel Cube on steroids. Have you ever seen one this big before? So this is a tool, one of the tools that Jesus Film Harvest Partners uses when they go in and they do some ministering and evangelizing. When the World Cup was in Brazil, 5 years ago, I don't remember when it was now, they had people all over the place with little tiny Evangel Cubes. I thought I brought one, but it's not in my bag. And they would share the gospel this way. Now, you can go into depth in scripture when you're sharing this, but I'm going to give you the short version. So, this first picture represents, the black represents man. We are all born into sin. And this represents God, and he is light. And there is no sin. God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. He was buried in a tomb and it was sealed for 3 days. On the third day, Jesus came back to life and is alive still today. The Bible tells us that the only way to heaven, where the light is through the cross. You must believe that Jesus is God's son. Accept him as your personal savior. That is the only way to heaven. This picture shows Christ with the scars in his hands and man. And when you accept Christ as your personal savior, then someday when you die, you will go to heaven. But if you choose not to accept Jesus, then you will go to hell. There are only two choices. Last picture is this. So obviously the heart represents God and love that he has for us. So what does he ask of us? Well, to pray to him every day, all the time. And praying is just talking to God. To read your Bible, because when you get to know somebody, you spend a lot of time with them. And since we can't see God and we can't see Jesus, we can know who they are by reading his word and telling us who they are and what they want for our lives. to be in fellowship with each other. So church is very important. And then also to go into all the world. Another tool they use is a soccer ball with colors, certain colors. Same concept. Black represents our sin. We are born into sin. Christ came and died for us, and the red represents his blood that he shed on the cross for us. When we accept Christ as our Savior, he washes our sin away, and he makes our heart pure, and that's what the white stands for. That gives us new hope for a new future. And then the yellow is when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, then someday when we die, we will go to heaven. This is an incredibly simple way to share the gospel. The lower picture on the left is Alan with the ball. And when we docked at one of the villages where we were welcomed, first thing they did was threw the soccer ball out there, and the kids just came out. And there was a big open patch, and they played soccer for quite a while. And then when they thought that all the kids had come out, they were going to come out, and they pulled them into a circle, and he shared the gospel with them. Another thing that we took, which I was really kind of surprised, even in Brazil, is people can make these evangel hats. Same colors, same message, and we just gave these out. Now, it was hot in Brazil and muggy, but these kids loved them. They put them on after they had gotten, we went to the church, they did the puppet show, we handed out little bracelets that had the colors on them. They were rubber band bracelets. I don't know if I have one in here. And then we hand out these hats, and we even saw them the next day wearing these hats during the day. I don't know how they did it, but they did. Another way is through Bible story cloths. There is a New Testament one and an Old Testament one. So a lot of times how they use this is they'll either pin it up, and they'll just teach a story from each square, or they'll just lay it onto the floor, onto the ground, and they'll have kids take turns and throw a pebble. And wherever the pebble lands, then the missionary or the pastor or whoever's teaching tells about that story. So so here's the other one as well. If you want to see those later, you can. Well, now that's covering it. I'll just do it like this. There we go. This is an incredible ministry and one in which you guys are supporting as well. It's very important. Next picture, please. So this is the web. This kind of shows you what World Evangelism Fund helps support. It allows missionaries to work more effectively and encourage all churches to support missions. It goes directly towards accomplishing the mission of the Church of the Nazarene to make Christ-like disciples in the nations. It's the funding that operates the Church of the Nazarene in its entire mission effect. Or effort, from the operation of the Global Ministry Center to districts and churches around the world. The Nazarene, Church of the Nazarene ministers to 162 world areas, and I just heard another pastor say there are 195 world areas, so we are almost there in every area. But let me say this, we are in other countries more than 162. It's just that we are not recognized by the government at this point. Some of our churches are underground, which means that they are meeting, but not out in the open. So it's done very much in secret. But people are coming to know the Lord. Those areas where we are, but we can't talk about, that's what we call creative access. In 2018, there were 680 missionaries originating from 59 world areas. They don't all just come from the United States, including 220 long-term volunteers. Last year, 118 new missionaries were added. Within these missionary families, there are 333 children. So, WEF, World Evangelism Fund, also provides the following: training for national workers, support for retired missionaries, support for primary and secondary schools serving thousands of children. It also supports Bible colleges, universities, seminaries, and vocational and training colleges serving thousands of students as well. It's support for medical clinics and hospitals, and it's the base support for World Mission Broadcasts, Nazarene Compassionate Ministries, Jesus Film Harvest Partners. Your giving to the World Evangelism Fund helps the Church of the Nazarene enter new world areas with the transforming power of Jesus Christ. When you give to the World Evangelism Fund through your faith promise, you are part of these ministries. This is your church. You are the hands and feet of Christ supporting our global regions, missionaries, and ministries all around the world. By giving to the World Evangelism Fund, you're contributing to all that the Church of the Nazarene is doing around the world. So, faith promise. So, what is faith promise? So, faith promise is an offering above your tithing. So, your tithing is important to do. Christ commands that of us, tells us to do that. But faith promise helps about everything that I have just told you about. But it is above your tithing. So I've talked about some of the things that you are. I didn't see a bulletin. Is it listed in the bulletin what all the faith promise is? Okay. So there was just a couple of things that I had questions about, so I'm just going to explain them to you as well as I can. So your World Evangelism Fund, you see what you're supporting that. Also deputation speakers. So when missionaries come in, that is called a deputation service, and that helps pay them when they come so that you don't have to do another offering when they're here. World Mission Broadcast, I showed the video with that. Jesus Film, we talked about that. You also have a district NMI budget, and that helps with district assembly cost, district work and witness, and global NMI convention. Faith Promise Sunday helps for the costs that happen for today. And local mission resources, which helps provide for your curriculum, your local supplies, and then also when you send delegates to your district assembly or NMI convention, I mean. Also, you have some scholarships, and that helps fund regular attendees who are raising money for mission service for a 1 to 2 year term. Missionary medical insurance is a very important thing to do. So, missionary medical insurance is not like the insurance we have. They can put that into their deputation account and help them pay their medical bills when they have them. They don't always need them. So when we give to the medical missionary fund, that helps not take money out of World Evangelism Fund to pay those medical bills. So when you can help do that, that can keep World Evangelism Fund with ministry and not health insurance. So I'm glad to see that you're giving towards that. And your links is your mission. You've been linked with a missionary family for the next 3 years. We were all given them just this past July. Who are your links family? Do you remember? Well, so so this is something that you can help give them, and this is something that they can use for their personal needs, clothing and hygiene items, and if they need a car or something like that. So your district is the only district assigned to these missionaries. So it's not like you have one missionary family that California is also taking care of, and Arizona is always taken care of. It's just the Kansas City district. And so when every church on your district does their part in giving to their Lynx family, then that helps that family to just have a little bit extra and do what they need to do. So you see, your faith promise is part of a bigger picture than just right here at Fairlawn. When you give, you're not only supporting your local church, but your global church. So I encourage you to listen for the Lord's direction, then promise to give him the amount he impresses on you and trust him to provide. It could be a one-time gift, it could be a weekly gift, or a monthly gift. And it's just for a year. So if you'll bow with me, let me pray with you. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the Church of the Nazarene and this avenue that we can be your hands and feet. by not only here in our church, in our community, but Lord, being able to help those all around the world do what you've called them to do out of their comfort zone. Thank you for the financial stability that you give each of our families, great and small. I ask, Lord, that you would impress upon each of them a certain amount to give so that they too can celebrate with our church in the work that you are doing around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.